We're reading Matthew 1 from verse 18. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When, as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away, privily or privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. May the Lord add his blessing to that reading from his word. Now this evening, I want to speak to you from a verse in the fifth book from the end of the Bible, unusually, 1 John chapter 3. You don't need to look it up, it's a very short verse, and it's this: For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Now maybe you expected to hear something about the shepherds, something about the wise men. You know all that, don't you? You know all about the shepherds and the wise men. Even if you don't have a particularly religious Christmas, it's really familiar to all of us. And one thing we've noticed in recent years is that we don't get many seven-year-olds at our carol service anymore. We used to, when we had an active Sunday school, and it was the time when we gave prizes to the children, and our thoughts were always about the familiar Christmas story. But it's an important message, and it's too important just to leave into those two or three chapters. Here is the answer to the question, why? That's the big question, why? Why Christmas? Why did God send his son into the world? It's not all about, it is about the baby. It's not all about the shepherds and the wise men. They're the things you know, but the big question is why? Why did it happen? And what happened? Well, to get the answer to why, we go right to the nearly last book in the Bible, fifth from the end, for this purpose. So, you know, it's trying to answer the question why. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. There's a purpose. God is at work. And let me tell you that if you don't see God at work in the Christmas story, you've missed the point. You really have missed the point. You've failed to see that this is God working. So I suppose we ought to answer the question, who, first of all? And it's about the Son of God. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested. Bible teaches us that God has three persons. And they are, as you probably know, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But the one Christmas is all about is the Son of God. He is the Son of God, Christ. He was there in the creation of the world. Various verses in the Bible tell us that he was there when the world was created. Nothing was created without him. But his most wonderful work that ever he did was this: when he was born into this world, when he lived a life of amazing proportions, when he died the most incredible death. And then when he rose from the dead, those 33 years are the most momentous in history. That's who it was. How do we know? Well, you don't even need to turn to the Bible, because contemporary history tells us that he did the most amazing things. You've only got to read some of the historians who wrote at that time, and it was a great enigma. The powers that be couldn't understand it. Here was a man who literally raised the dead, and he healed the blind. Can you imagine that? Healing the blind at a touch. Even healing people from diseases they'd had all their lives, lame people, deaf people, blind people, people with all sorts of, even lepers, people who had the dreaded disease of leprosy, and by a touch, or even sometimes without a touch, Jesus healed them. He was the Son of God, and he showed himself to be the Son of God. That's what the word manifested means. It was manifest, it was quite clear, this was the Son of God who was walking upon earth. Here was the Lord Jesus Christ. He was manifested. Now, there's a word you hear every 4 years or so when the general election comes up. You don't hear manifested, you hear the manifesto. And it never makes a lot of sense, because you know that it's not going to be fulfilled, even to the smallest degree. But the manifestation of the Son of God, what does it actually mean? Well, it means that he didn't suddenly come into existence at Bethlehem. He already existed. He was manifested. He was revealed. He was, and the word really means made obvious and clear. That's what it means, to manifest something. Jesus was hidden. Where was he hidden? Well, he was hidden in the pages of the Old Testament. Right back in Genesis chapter 3, God said, right when we first sinned against God, God said that he was going to send a man who would be born of a woman, who would bruise the serpent's head, or crush the serpent's head. And that's what it means when it says that he would destroy the works of the devil. And in order to do that, his heel would be bruised. In other words, he would suffer and he would die. That's promised. That's Christ there in Genesis. And then throughout the Old Testament, you get pictures of Jesus in various ways. You also get prophecies. Men who prophesied that he would come, that he would be born in Bethlehem, of all places. And that he would perform great and wonderful miracles. And that he would die. And that was the most incredible thing for the people of Israel to believe, that their Messiah was actually going to die in a suffering, dreadful way in order to pay the price for sinners. It was all prophesied there in the Old Testament. That's where he was hidden, but they couldn't really see it. They didn't understand it. But when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, it was the beginning of him being manifested, shown to people, revealed, and he is revealed to all who come with open hearts, truly seeking to know him. That's what it means, that he was manifested. He took human flesh, and he did amazing things, and he revealed the plan of God. Well, what was that? What was God's plan? Is there a plan in all this? In everything we see around us? Yes, there's a plan. God saw the human race was completely taken over by Satan. This is where Satan had his victory, when he took the human race, because we had free will. I said had, we don't have it now, but we had free will. And that free will meant that we chose evil. And Satan had us in the palm of his hands. You know, there are some people, I've heard it again recently, who are not sure about God, but they're pretty sure there's a Satan, because look at the wicked world and look at the wicked things that happen. It can't all be down to the minds of men. There must be a satanic influence, and many people who don't really believe in God certainly believe in Satan. So much evil. But what's the point then of Christmas? Why do we do this? Well, the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. Well, what are the works of the devil? Some people get very interested in the very sinister ideas, obvious books that are written and films that are made where Satan is like a pantomime character who suddenly appears and does bad things. And that's what he wants. Satan desires that you should just think of him as a character in a pantomime, somebody that people make jokes about and laugh about. Oh, he's happy as long as you believe that. As long as you think that Satan is somehow just a figment of our imagination. But essentially, Satan is a deceiver. That's what the Bible calls him. He deceives. He pulls the wool over people's eyes. In fact, the Bible says that he has the whole world in the palm of his hands. He has the whole world in his lap. The whole world lies in the lap of the evil one. And he wants you to think he's like a pantomime character, but he's evil right through and through. The Bible says the world lies in his lap. How does Christ destroy the works of the devil? Well, first of all, it was by going to Calvary. What Satan didn't bargain on was that God had found a way of dealing with the very thing that would condemn us for eternity, to a lost eternity. Forever and ever and ever. And Satan had that. That was his master plan. And it was done. A fait accompli. No way out. We would suffer forever and ever. But God conceived a mighty plan. And that was that Jesus would come. And that he would suffer and die on the cross of Calvary. And because he is divine, the Almighty God, the second person in the Trinity, he was able to bear the sins of millions of people and utterly, completely satisfy God's anger and the law and bring peace and joy and new life to all who trust in Christ. He did that at Calvary, and do you know the greatest proof of that was 50 days later. After all those years when this person believed and that person didn't and so many didn't, and suddenly, on the day of Pentecost, 50 days after the resurrection of Christ, 3,000 people who were biased and prejudiced against anything apart from the old law, they saw and they realized and they were born again. That's what you need. You need to be born again. A mighty work of God in your soul, making you a whole new person. And he does that. That's what happened. And a few days later, there were 5,000. And by the end of the century, 1 million who actually believed and trusted in Jesus Christ and lived for him and gave their lives. Many of them literally gave their lives rather than deny him because they knew he was alive. And he is alive. And he still will come. How else? Well, when you realize your need, you know, most of the time, the problem is you don't really realize you have a need. If you don't realize it, it's a bit like if you're ill and you don't know you're ill, you won't go to the doctor, especially if you've got to queue up for about 12 hours in the night before you're even seen. You'll think, well, I'm not going to a doctor. There's probably nothing really wrong with me. But when you realize you have a spiritual need, that you've sinned against Almighty God, that you've offended him, that he would be in his rights to judge you here and now, and he doesn't, and he hasn't, when you realize your need, why, you start to think that's the work of God. The first work in destroying the power of Satan, that's to make you feel your sense of need. And when he makes you see that the end of that need is to be judged and to face the judge of all the earth, why wouldn't you have to face him? If he's created us and here in this world we live, don't you think we have to answer to him? Of course we do. And when we answer to him, there's no hope unless, this is the third thing, when Christ makes you realize that he died for you. He died for sinners to bring you to a place where you know your sins are forgiven. And you know it. And you're sure. And you have that assurance in your heart because you know. You see the cross of Jesus Christ and you say, that was for me. And you realize it was indeed for you if you truly believe and trust in him. And when Christ takes your sin away, and he takes all the sin you've ever committed and all the sin you ever will commit, and he lays it on his own shoulders and on his own head on Calvary's cross, and he takes his perfect righteousness and acceptance with God, and he covers you in that, that's when Satan is defeated. That's when we know for sure, for this purpose, the Son of God was manifested. He was born in a stable. He was cradled in a manger. Yes, we know that. But this was why? So that he might destroy the works of the devil. And he will do that for you. And he will do it in your heart. And he will bring you to a place where you'll never want to be apart from him again. You'll have him as your Saviour and Lord and God. This is the night when you have that opportunity to turn to him, to call upon him, and to seek him. I urge you to do just that. We're going to sing another. Come on, after that, don't move too far.